Hi, and welcome to the 24th episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with Dr. Eric Voigt, who noticed a woman's cancer through his TV screen. He shares how he tracked down the woman and what it was like the moment they met each other for the first time.
Can you just briefly discuss your medical background?
I am currently the Director of General Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery at NYU Langone Health, and I've been in that position now for 5 years.
Okay. I guess we can get into, you know, the story that really is kind of making headlines everywhere. So when most people would have been staring at the homes and the beaches and all that kind of stuff, you noticed a lump on the woman's throat who was actually house hunting. How did you spot it? And then I guess what made you feel that it was, you know, in need of urgent attention?
So I was at home relaxing, watching a show that I actually like to kind of fantasize about, beach homes and oceanfront. You know, working in the big city, you don't really see the ocean on a daily basis. Uh-huh. So it was just kind of a little, relaxing time for me. Mm-hmm. But as I was watching the show, I just noticed that the woman on the show had something that wasn't normal. And since I'm a head and neck surgeon and I train medical students and teach medical students and train residents on how to do physical exams and how to, you know, notice things, it just caught my eye. It was a very, you know, obvious finding to me.
Okay. So the next move was going to social media. Is that correct?
So, yeah, well, the first thing was actually I reviewed it a couple of times. I paused on the TV, okay, and I looked. You know, wow, there's really something there. And then I actually showed a couple of family members who were over, and I rewound it and fast-forwarded it, and I said, you know what, there really is something. That's a thyroid mass, most likely. And then I kind of wondered, does she even know? It just dawned on me,
yeah,
that this is someone who might have a problem and might be unaware of it. And then I said, gosh, should I try to do something about it? Should I try to reach out to this person? Should I try to notify them? And I thought about the implications of doing so. I went through a little process of should I, shouldn't I, or how should I? And I just kind of felt like an obligation to help out. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I were to put it on social media, I wasn't really revealing anything about her that she didn't already put out into the media. She was on TV. Her name was on the TV screen. So her identity was already out there. Because I did think about that. Am I revealing something about someone's identity? But she was already in the media. So I decided to go to my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I took a screenshot of the TV. And I just put up, I didn't identify her name. I just said, I think this woman might have a problem. There's a lump, and she probably needs a sonogram and a biopsy. And if anyone, you know, knows her, reach out to her and see if we can help her out. So within 2 weeks, someone who was looking to watch that show, who was a friend of hers, Googled the show, I guess, and my picture came up that I had posted. I had hashtagged the name of the show, and that's how she found it.
Oh, okay.
So, that's how she identified it. She was searching for the show, and my picture that I posted came up. And then she contacted me through Facebook and said, I know that person, and I'm going to let her know. And so she contacted Nicole, is her name, and then Nicole immediately acted.
Wow.
She did not know she had the lump, and just by interesting circumstance, the show was filmed in November of 2017, and I saw the show in May of 2018.
Okay.
So that lump had been there for even, I guess, 6 months after I saw it.
Okay.
And she had been going for regular medical checkups, but it was never identified. She was unaware of it. So once she was notified of it, she went to her doctor, and they did the appropriate tests, the sonogram and a needle biopsy, and end result is that it turned out to be thyroid cancer.
That's incredible. I mean, to go through all of those steps and for it to actually work, were you surprised that you were able to?
Totally shocked.
Yeah.
Totally shocked. I mean, chills up and down my spine, a feeling of really having helped someone. It was an overwhelming feeling, honestly.
And now, when you actually learned that it was a malignant tumor, you know, she had the thyroid cancer, what went through your head, I guess, you know, that you actually diagnosed this, you know, through watching your TV, one of your favorite shows that you were able to watch?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, to put it into a perspective of what I do every day is, you know, I'm always thoroughly examining every patient that I see. And I actually stress this to the medical students. I teach a physical diagnosis course on how to examine the head and neck. And we actually bring the medical students in, and I teach them how to examine, and they examine each other. So this is something that's always in my consciousness. So having done it outside of the medical professional realm, just, you know, confirm that as a physician, you're always trying to help and always trying to do the right thing. And that's how I, you know, how I feel about it. I just feel really good that it worked out. And hopefully, when you find something earlier than later, you have a better prognosis also.
Exactly.
So as a cancer is in someone and it's there for a long time, it has the potential to spread and to be a much worse prognosis. So finding something earlier is always better.
Yeah. And now, so I saw that you recently met Nicole. I believe it was on Good Morning America that you guys met.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already a brain cancer survivor. What was it like meeting her, and what did she say to you?
So meeting her was very emotional for both of us, because it was it's a very unique human experience to help someone like that. So I felt very emotional and very happy to have helped her. She clearly was very grateful and very thankful. And I'll tell you, she's a remarkably strong person, because I didn't even know about the brain cancer diagnosis. I picked up the TV show in the middle. So to hear about that, and she fought something and is a survivor and so strong, it's also just miraculous to me.
And now, I guess more to the general idea of this all, how can this motivate others, whether, you know, like yourself, you're in the medical field, or maybe just the average person? Like, what do they need to keep an eye out for, you know, on themselves or maybe a family member or a friend?
Sure. So, you know, I think there is something called a Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. and there are actually Good Samaritan laws that help protect someone who's in healthcare, to just help someone if they're on the street, if someone falls, if someone gets injured, if you're on a flight and they ask for a doctor. And generally, healthcare providers will, you know, reach out and help people. And I think everyone has the capacity to help others. If you see something dangerous, if you see something where someone might be in danger, you know, reach out and help. And there are great stories all the time about people being heroes and saving others. But sometimes it could be something as simple as not necessarily imposing your opinion on someone, but if you see someone making bad choices, if you see, you know, in medicine also, when I have young kids that come in, I always want to be a positive influence, mm-hmm. give good advice, give positive, helpful words. So I just think helping each other and being a good Samaritan is probably a good message for a story like this.
Okay.
Additionally, in healthcare, and in my region in the head and neck, is that if any individual has something, say, a lesion inside of their mouth, an ulcer, a sore that's, you know, not going away, something that's lasting more than 2-3 weeks and not resolving, they really should get that looked at by their doctor. And that also includes any type of swelling or lump or bump that's in the head and neck region. We all can get swollen lymph nodes from colds and viruses, but those swollen lymph nodes should go down after a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something that's persisting for 2-3 weeks, then you should really get it checked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that kind of leads into my next question, and it may have answered some of it, but I guess those are some of the signs and symptoms, I would assume, of maybe the beginning of a thyroid cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. In general, thyroid cancer is a painless lump. That's how it presents typically. And it's often found by the individual who might just look in the mirror and see a bump, or when men are shaving, they might feel a fullness as they're shaving their neck. And those are painless lumps are often the only presenting initial sign. And then more worrisome signs are if people are having trouble swallowing. swallowing, if their voice is changing and they're hoarse, if there's pain, those are more significant findings of something that might be a little more advanced.
Okay, great. And I guess the last question that I actually have for you is, what advice would you offer others?
So the statement that people say, if you see something, say something. You know, if you see something that is worrisome, don't be afraid to say something and help someone out. Always be willing to help. And generally, help is accepted as a good thing.
Tune in next week when we speak with a young adult who was living the dream, studying abroad in Spain and training to run the Madrid Marathon until his leg and hip pain turned out to be more than just side effects from training and was actually a multiple myeloma diagnosis. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.